So let's talk about Coltrane and his significance. He was born and raised in North Carolina, then he ended up in New York. Is it the premise of your film that his period in Philadelphia from 1943 to 1958 was critical in his incubation period? Tom?
Well, when you look at the history of just about any great artist, you see a time when they really were in the woodshed and really developing their language. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into learning about jazz that has to do with just on-the-job experience, quote-unquote, where a lot of young players, particularly at that time in the mid-40s, were able to just wander into clubs and play. And he certainly did that here. That's sort of a beginning step. What I think is so interesting about his time in general in Philadelphia is that if he had discipline before, he really learned how to apply his discipline and develop his discipline here. He studied in a way that was more voracious than just about any other musician who's ever played jazz, both in terms of hours spent, but also in terms of the exhaustiveness of his reach. He was big into the piano. He understood how to frame harmony, and when he was practicing his instrument, he would often have the piano there. So all of that kind of work, the building block foundational work for jazz, doesn't often happen just in the club. You do have to go away and sit in a room and contend with all the things that go into playing this music. He did that while he was here.
Well, I would just add to that that he couldn't have probably accomplished this if he had stayed in the American South during this time period. A lot of great jazz musicians that we consider great today, like Dizzy Gillespie, moved to Philadelphia in the 1930s. Even in the earlier part of the 20th century, you know, Louis Armstrong knew that he needed to leave New Orleans to move to Chicago. Other greats like Duke Ellington are from D.C. Miles is from East St. Louis, so these are places that aren't really as deep south, Jim Crow, as what Coltrane had to deal with. But to add to Tom, I mean, he got training here that was available to him that would not have happened in the American South. So that really is one of the keys of our story that I think we're trying to tell too, is that Philadelphia, due to the Great Migration and all these great players coming up and then being trained mainly really by Russian Jews, you know, being trained at the Granoff School, being trained at the Ornstein School, these are great incubators for jazz. So not only does he have the great training and the background, but he also has all the clubs to play in. And then he has the discipline of just that he brought, I think, himself to the instrument.
I was just going to ask you if you could describe what Philadelphia was like in the 1940s and 50s.
You know, it's kind of this period where there are a lot of jobs. I mean, that's why families are moving here. Even though there's racism in Philadelphia, it's seen as not as racist a place. It's not as institutionalized racism as there is in the Jim Crow South. And then two, it's the abundance of jobs, even for those with just high school diplomas or with not a whole lot of skill. We are the workshop of the world. We're considered the workshop of the world into the early 1960s. That term is used in the 1940s and 1950s. We're making all kinds of things for both the war effort during the war and then after. You know, we're not a one-shop town the way Detroit is. You know, we don't just make automobiles. We're called the workshop of the world because there were all types of different industries. And I think we say in the movie, you know, jobs were available for all skill levels, which is something that, you know, and for African Americans, and even during the war for women as well. So that's really what drives the migration.
How did music fit into this mix? Maybe Tom wants to talk.
Well, the most striking thing that I discovered, and it was well known to others, was the depth of the entertainment scene in general here. Obviously, when you have a large workforce and neighborhoods that are kind of thriving, middle-class, solid, stable neighborhoods in all parts of the city, each of them have their own hub of entertainment. And in the African-American communities, that hub was right here. Cecil B. Moore, formerly known as Columbia Avenue, was one of these meccas for nightlife, the likes of which we just can't even imagine in modern-day Philadelphia, or in any modern-day big city, really. And in the film, we talk to the great singer and entertainer Dottie Smith and the great saxophonist Odine Pope about what they remember along Columbia Avenue, and they go almost block by block and recall not like one or two clubs in this stretch, but really 8 or 9, 10 places. And that's not including the more famous established clubs like Peps and the Showboat in South Philly and things like that. And to realize that Coltrane, as a very young musician, was in an environment where he could play in one club, walk outside, and without having to get on a train or take a cab or anything, was able to walk to another place and either hear some amazing music or participate in some amazing music. And that created a network of musicians and a network of listeners as well. It was very synergistic at that time for people to follow certain musicians, but also for the musicians to kind of collect into different small groups and play. And there was a lot of jam sessions.
One of the reasons that the club scene is so thriving in the 40s and 50s is that there is a great African-American working class who they have money in their pockets to spend because they're working in the factories and industrial areas of Philadelphia. And one of the things that Dr. Diane Turner, who's here at Temple with the Bloxon Collection, pointed out when we interviewed her was that due to rationing during World War II, people couldn't spend money on a lot of things, but what they could spend money on was entertainment. So entertainment became very important during this time period. You also have to remember that this is a pre-television era for the most part. Television by the late 40s is in its infancy. You know, air conditioning is another big thing. I mean, these are kind of mundane things, but they're important. You know, when we looked at old ads in the archives of these, a lot of them at the top say air conditioning or air conditioned because, you know, we all know what Philadelphia summers are like. They're hot.
The other thing to add about the environmental conditions is that this was a world that was shared by a lot of musicians. In Philadelphia, as in New York and other cities, people after the war were drawn to this kind of work and the pursuit of art, and there were enormous pools of talent here. And so it wasn't like there were two or three superstars and everybody else was sort of in the background. It was really a scene that drew from a wide range of neighborhoods, certainly, but people, and a lot of them roughly the same age. But the other thing that's always impressive about Philadelphia is how multi-generational the scene actually was, and that even a young person of Coltrane's age could, in the space of one of these evenings along Columbia Avenue, hear people who were veteran, skilled players, and then also people his own age and younger.
We really want to raise awareness of his importance to Philadelphia and Philadelphia's importance to him. There is a sense of place. It was discipline, but it was also the sense of place that gave him the ability to pursue excellence in music. And that was a place like Philadelphia that was big, you know, large American city, third largest American city when he moves here, 2 million people in 1950. A lot of the reason the population explodes in the 40s and 50s is because of the second great African-American migration out of the South, the ability to have the club scene, the ability to have the instruction, to have all of the friends. It's that sense of place that I think we're trying to get at, too, that it's not only what Tom was discussing, but it's Philadelphia. It's the place.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.